Mm-hmm. I don't need a passport to walk on this earth. Anywhere I go, cause I was made of this earth. I'm born of this earth, I breathe of this earth. And even with the pain, I believe in this earth. So I wake up every morning and I'm stepping on the floor. I wake up every morning and I'm stepping out the door. I got faith in the sky, faith in the one, faith in the people rocking underneath the sun. Cause every bit of land is a holy land, and every drop of water is a holy water, and every single child is a son or a daughter of the one earth mama and the one earth papa. So don't tell a man that he can't come here, cause he got brown eyes and a wavy kind of hair. And don't tell a woman that she can't go there, because she prays a little different to a God up there. You say you're a Christian cause God made you. You say you're a Muslim cause God made you. You say you're a Hindu and the next man a Jew. Then we all kill each other cause God told us to. No, hello, hello.
Hello, bonjour,
hola,
konnichiwa.
Greetings, my friends. Hope you're doing well this morning, no matter what you're doing. Today, we have Jean Marie Dorado. She is the principal of the school at the Sacred Stone Camp at Standing Rock. And then we're going to be talking with Ivan Looking Horse of the Cheyenne River Reservation. And he's going to give us an update of what's been going on at camp and a pretty good history lesson as well. So I hope you're going to stay with me and stay tuned. We're here with Jean Marie Dorado. She is the principal of the Sacred Stone Camps School at Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. She is a water protector. Jean Marie was born in Mexico City and grew up in Minneapolis and Mexico City. She was raised by educators and worked in marketing and advertising and manages a lot of projects. And now she resides at the Sacred Stone Camp with her 22-month-old daughter and a new baby daughter that's on the way in about, what, a month, Jean?
That's correct.
Oh, that's exciting. So it's going to be another baby born at camp.
That's right. Number three or four.
I might have been there, I think, when the first baby was born. That might have been October sometime, I think. Not sure, but this is really exciting. So, you know, I'm curious, like I've asked many people, what brought you to camp? How did you get there? And I don't mean physically in a car, but...
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, one of the primary reasons I was motivated to get involved as a stay-at-home mom, actually, was because I knew a lot of other moms and ladies and families, stay-at-home dads as well, who want to be involved with mm-hmm. what's going on here. And we're limited either by time or resources or money. And then we also had a network of really great Gustavus students who wanted to create a space for students, and they had extra time and extra money. So we all worked together and we built a GoFundMe to provide a space, a tent that would be available for students and mothers and children, almost like a drop-in tent, where if you were able to make it out, we would cover the heating and we would make sure you were fed and taken care of during your stay. Based on the firm belief that a community really isn't complete without its women and children. And there's a lot of really wonderful, well-intentioned water protectors and warriors out here, and they do really awesome, important things for us. But it's just a group of guys at the end of the day, and they definitely need the yin to their yang, and kids do so much to boost morale, just seeing your smiles and listening to their little laughs. It makes it all worthwhile. I mean, that's the reason why we're here. Anyway, it's for the future and for future generations who have yet to be born.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I had never been to the Sacred Stone School, but I was by the Ochete Shoconi Camp School, and gosh, the children were just gleeful. They, you know, they learned about culture, even making fry bread and chanting and playing drums, and along with everything else, and they just had such a good time. And you were telling me a little bit about the curriculum that it's not in place yet, is it, or it's going to be put in place, the Pedagogy 3000
right.
curriculum?
Exactly. That's the curriculum that we're looking at working with right mm-hmm. now. And they're a really cool organization based out of, I think, where was it? Where is she now? Chile?
I think I saw Australia,
too. The values mm-hmm. That they've integrated into their curriculum are basically the same values that the Lakota people have here, too. And the way that we've been running the school has been built around these seven values of respect, honesty, truth, generosity, and helping, wisdom, compassion, and caring, prayer, and humility. And it isn't just at the school, mind you. Now, this is really important. This is something, these are values that we all live by here at camp. And everybody who is here at camp, participating at camp, knows that and is on board with that. So it's a philosophy and it's a way that we move through life. So finding a curriculum that actually dovetails into those values, as well as permaculture, which is a big part of what we do here, has been exciting, to say the least, just because they're on the same page that we are and they've already done all the hard work of getting projects together and mm-hmm. getting thought centers together and getting the research together to back up the philosophy of the curriculum.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
Yeah, that really is. And then, you know, I'm sure everybody wants to know, I was talking with someone, starting with Casey, actually, this morning, a friend, and a mutual friend, and it was -7 degrees there. And so what's it like living at camp now in the wintertime?
Well, I think it's a very different experience for kids versus adults. The adults, I think it's probably a lot more enjoyable for them. You go and find coffee or make coffee and tea and movie about and do your thing. But the kids, they need a warm space. They need mm-hmm. a place to run around. They need a place that they can go to consistently and feel comfortable and safe in. And a lot of them live in yurts with other folks, so they're already sharing space and they're sharing their parents' attention and time. So I thought it was really important to think ahead and to plan a building, a structure for our students where they would be able to hang out during the day, during classes, and also hang out after school if they needed a place, a warm place to stay. So we got I was able to inspire a team of builders who had just sort of car shared together from California, from their school, their permaculture building school, and I was able to get a hay bale structure built from scratch.
This is brilliant.
So we built ourselves a permanent structure using the local resources available here, hay bales, earth, some gravel, what else do we have?
Recycled wood. Windows?
Yes, recycled windows, recycled doors.
Mm. Mm-hmm. How nice. Wow. And it's warm, yeah?
But we stay warm. We have a TurboMast heater, It's built out of a large, one of those big metal oil bins or barrels. That's really cool. That heats up the building sort of in the longer stretch. And then to heat up the building in the short term while that gets going, we have a cast iron wood stove.
Oh, wonderful. That's great.
Yeah, and we have the kids running around in their socks and their regular clothes. So it's nice and cozy in there. It's actually one of the coziest places here at camp. And I think a lot of the kids, adults, are jealous that they don't qualify, at least during the day.
Yeah. Wow. What are the children like? What are their age ranges in the school?
So we serve a really wide range of children. We're doing pre-K curriculum. So my youngest is almost 2. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a boy who's a little bit younger than her. So we could say 1.5 up to 14 years old.
And how many teachers are there?
On a good day, there's 1. On a bad day, it's just me, the principal, and I'm definitely not, I am not blessed with as much patience as most wonderful teachers are. So we're still looking for teachers to come in and commit months plus of their time. And I think that's the biggest challenge is that we have wonderful volunteers, but they, you know, it isn't feasible for them to take off more than a month or, you know, even a month of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is a big commitment. And yet, how long have you been at camp?
I've been at camp since, here at this camp since October.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And were you at the Ochetti Shekone camp before? Or
Yes. I had started out at Ochetti and was, so as a strategist, I'm always thinking ahead. And I thought, well, the safest place to be would probably be on some private property and above the water line because there will be flooding this spring, which is natural to the location. And where Ochetti is at, they do experience flooding. So I came over to Sacred Stone and was welcomed here and able to find a place for my daughter and I to set up our tent.
And you know, tell me, how do you feel about the baby being born in this real, what I think is a truly wonderful place?
I am so excited. We are, my daughter and I and my ex, we're all very, really excited that this is a possibility for us. When I go into that sterile birthing state, I would much rather be with people that I have already established a relationship with. And I think that that's what most people want, is to feel safe and comfortable with the people that they're birthing with. So
yeah.
I think that this is a great opportunity for me and for my daughter, for both of my daughters. Good story for them to tell.
So, yeah, the new baby's going to be a little girl. Wow. Well, do you have any closing words?
Sure. Well, I was thinking a little bit about the question that you put out to me about what it is that I think people should know. And I think people just need to remember that living off of the grid and living in community, you know, is possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, but it's definitely possible. And every one of us has a choice. So what we're doing is we're living those values and we're trying to be the change that we hope to see in the world. And it's so much easier said than done, right? Especially when you're dealing with kids, you just want to sort of pull your hair out. But but at the same time, what we're doing here, what we're living, social justice, social sovereignty, you know, return with this return to the matriarchy based on ancient legends, eco-rights, decolonization, this is really exciting stuff. And to have found a community that is on board with that in the long term is great. And it's the reason why we will be staying past any suggestion that the chairman has made.
I think we need to look into that a little bit more. There's been some talk about closing the camps and, you know, part of it with good reason, as the Ochetti Shekone camp, a lot of it will be flooded. It was flooded in 2013, and because of the way the river is and because the whole area, the Missouri River, was dammed, that things don't flow naturally. And I was hearing that you can have these great big pieces of ice, but huge pieces of ice come right up on the land. That could be dangerous. But the other side of the coin is very interesting, how the building's been happening in the higher ground and the commitment to renewable energy and making everything so much bigger than one pipeline, which this pipeline is huge, but there's way too many pipelines happening, and that's all part of it. This is kind of where the big focus started, and the looking ahead to sustainability and where to go. Not only stop the pipeline and we're finished. No, clearly this is a whole transformation that's taking place and standing hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just happens
Absolutely.
To be that kind of center of it right now. The things that it's brought up and showing everyone and the changes, that's the important part, even in education, educating children in a new and better way. So that they,
exactly.
yeah, they grow up to be, you know, conscious people, which we all aim to be and strive to be and want to be.
Right. Conscious people who have, you know, not survived their education, but blossomed with it because it has made them a full person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I wish you well, and I hope to talk to you before and after baby comes.
Yes, we should definitely do this again. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All the best, Jean Marie Dorado. Thank you. You're listening to Morning Eclectic with Earth Mom.
So hard to answer futures riddle when ahead is seeming so far behind. So hard to laugh a childlike giggle when the tears start to torture my mind. So hard to shed the life of before, to let my soul automatically soar. But I hit hard at the battle that's confronting me. Yeah. Knocked down. Yeah.
what if life's a revelation, if the mind speaks of only today? So real the pain of growing in soul, of climbing up to reality's goal. But I hit hard at the battle that's been done in the end. So knock down all the roadblocks stumbling me, throw off all the shackles that are biting me down. Long promised road, trail starts at dawn, carries on to the season's ending. Long promised road flows to the source, gentle force, never ending. Never ending. So hard to lift the jeweled scepter when the weight turns a smile to a frown. So hard to drink of passion nectar when the taste of life's pulling me down. So hard to plant the seed of reform, to set my sights on defeating the storm. So I hit hard at the battle that's in front of me. Yeah, so knock down all the roadblocks stumbling me, throw off all the shackles that are biting me down.
Long Promised Road, the Beach Boys with Carl Wilson on lead vocals. I love that song, and it reminds me of the Lakota people, all the trials and mistreatment that they've gone through for centuries, okay? But they stand tall. It's like the people I met at Standing Rock. They just inspire me so. Winona, Karen, and Joe, and my little brother Emmanuel from the Havasupai tribe, and just love to you all. And the next person that we're interviewing is Ivan Looking Horse, and he is a Lakota man from Cheyenne River, and he is just a true, good, honest person who totally cares about Mother Earth. And he's going to talk to us about treaties and about the conditions at the Standing Rock camps at this time. He is frequently at the Ocheti Shekone camp and all the camps, and he is a frequent participant in meetings about the Dakota Access Pipeline. So we spoke to him to get an update.
If you're following up on some of the stuff that's happening on Facebook, there's a lot of people now interested in the court cases of what our treaties, how our treaties happen, how they keep taking land and resources away in their time, in the government's time of need and economy for the country. So right now they're minimizing our reservations every year as much as they can. And their sole purpose right now is to dissolve the reservation and make the natives taxpayers after all the damage has been done to the economy, the ecosystem, and, so doing that there and us trying to fight for our rights and our treaty rights, you know, it's coming to a head, and they're either going to honor treaties or just not make any more treaties with anybody, you know. That's because the world knows that the United States doesn't honor their treaties with the natives, and that's kind of how they are getting a lot of flack from other countries, because other countries said they don't want to make no treaties with the United States because they don't even honor the ones that they have right now inside their own country.
This is true. So, I mean, I take it Standing Rock is really much bigger than Standing Rock, is it not?
Standing Rock, yes. It involves seven campfires, we call Ocheti Shakowe, which the land base is between Wyoming to Wisconsin, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Those are all the territories that they're talking about. And those treaty has been a thing that they say of the past, but it is affecting the future right now because of their agreements to keep, you know, keep things going. A long time ago, back in 1851, and before, the United States was not able to cross our lands. And so they made agreements to allow them to cross our lands. And when they did, they fortressed in here and there. They made railroads. Yeah. And then after that railroads, they started wiping out our food supply, which was the buffalo. So they wiped those out pretty good to the almost extermination. And during those times, they made townships through the Pacific Railroad. And those townships became our present-day towns. And all done illegally with eminent domain. And then once the railroads are gone, they're supposed to return the lands back to our people. And that wasn't done. Instead, they turned out to the highest bidder or homes. So anyway, those things like that happened. They made agreements to give those lands back and also the townships, the lands there, and none of it ever happened. So now the towns think that they own the lands that they're sitting on, which could be short-lived if the United States honors the treaties, we can take those townships back. And those things they don't want to see happen. Instead, they want to keep oppressed, and then once they oppress and take everything away, they want to make us taxpayers, so, you know, it's kind of working that way for them, and that's what they want the world to see, that we're living off the U.S. government, when really the U.S. government is living off us.
Yes, yes. And do you think...
It was our gold...
No, you speak.
It was our gold and our resources that founded this country, the gold that was made by the Louisiana Purchase way back then, kings and queens of England and Britain. So these things have never been talked about. They're not even history books, you know, of how the country was founded. So all the stuff that's happening today, they're trying to keep it low-key. They don't want no news media getting into it because some of these stories come out, and then they say, wow, we really did wrong for mankind, you know. So how is the Creator going to look at us, you know, as us being what we did to the spirits of the world? So it's not only here in Indian country, it's all over the world. Indigenous peoples are paying for the crimes of the corporations and politicians.
And all the greed of everyone.
Yeah, all the greed. Yeah, it's very, very difficult life today for our future of our generations. As if they don't realize what they're doing now, they're destroying themselves, Mother Nature, the whole environment, and in a way to survive and live on this.
Do you feel that there is some hope when you see how everyone got together and rallied at Standing Rock, how the nations, the Native nations came together, and then people of all colors came and supported, people that care about Mother Earth as well and understand the leadership that the indigenous people bring and the understanding of Mother Earth that you bring, and we can all learn from you. Do you feel, I mean, somewhat positive about that, even though it may be a tough situation?
Oh, you know, that was very, very, very good on Exton on that part because of the awareness needed to be brought out for the eyes of the world to open, you know, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. understand what they're faced up against, you know, what they're taking for granted in this everyday life, you know, the economy. And if you see, look at Nigeria and all the other countries where the oil has been operating for 30, 40 years, mm-hmm. it devastated their wildlife, their farmlands, and everything, you know. So I see on Facebook that Nigeria has taken the Shell oil company to court for destroying the whole area. And things like that there, you know, it's destructive. The oil is very destructive. Yeah. And all the chemicals that they use in the fracking and the process of all this here stuff is very destructive. And hearing little bits of news here and there, you know, the fracking and the extracting of the oils up in the Bakken oil fields is pushing up plutonium. So plutonium is something that nuclear, for the nuclear warheads and bombs and stuff. And they're making, I don't think the word is out on a lot of the stuff that is happening, but they're creating a market for that plutonium through Russia, China, Japan, Korea. And those are the things not talked about right now. And probably very dangerous. And so, so I think these are things that the mankind is doing. You know, the Fukushima that is, Japan is destroying the whole Pacific Ocean. You know, we know that. All that stuff is happening, affecting the West Coast, affecting the salmon of the Northwest tribes, and things like that. There, you know, they're letting us know that it's, you know, we either have to abide and learn about Mother Nature and abide by her spiritual natural laws, or lose our future generations to these corporations and businesses and the politicians. So it's up to the world to open their eyes, you know. And then this year, Standing Rock deal is just the beginning.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning. A lot of things that needs to happen. And some of our grandfathers, they told us that, you know, if you can't do nothing about stopping these here destructive ways, they tell us not to have children, or tell our children not to have children because they're going to die in their arms and stuff like that there, you know. They're not going to be able to get water. They're not going to be able to get food because this year, Missouri River, Lake Oahe, it damaged our lands, our best farmlands that we had as natives way back when they flooded all the whole area out. And they didn't compensate much. And then some of the things that they needed to compensate on, they only compensated for a while and then stopped, you know. Hydro flow over the water stopped in 1969. So right now, as it stands, they owe $4.2 billion to the Cheyenne River Reservation alone by itself, and maybe $1 billion or $2 billion for Standing Rock.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM on your dial and WBAI.org online.
So the tribes here, there is what they call us Dakota, Lakota, Nakota. Those are dialects, but what that Dakota means is allies of other nations. And so ally to us, you know, is something that is sacred and something that is a friendship. And so sacred and friendship is what defines Dakota as allies. And Dakota Access Pipeline could be brought on charges for utilizing that name in a way that is destroying Mother Earth. So is North Dakota and South Dakota, because utilizing a sacred name is is something that we don't like, you know. We don't mm-hmm. want that name to be ruined.
Yeah.
As Dakotas, Lakotas, you know. We abide by natural laws, spiritual laws of our Creator. So, understanding those, there's a lot of court cases that could be opened up where North Dakota could be broke by the time all the court cases are done. Especially they put up what they did to the water protectors. Every one of those cases, 642 or something like that, could be charges brought up on North Dakota and the sheriff of Morton County and the governor. So they don't understand that. If the treaty people get together, that they can take these two into world court, not no United States Supreme
Court. Yeah.
World court means that in their laws, the treason and the stuff that they do, the only punishment for that is death by hanging. That's still in their law books. Because we were reading up on that. But what's the penalty? You know, well, penalty is death by hanging because that's the only punishment that's on the books. So if they understood that, because some lawyers, when after they did that North camp, they talked to the governor, talked to the sheriff, and once they got done with them, they were kind of shaking in their shoes, I guess, is what they sounded like. And so after that, they tried to schedule a meeting with the Standing Rock Sioux tribe to try to make things right. But, you know, damage is already done. And so now they have to go forward and try to prosecute everybody to the fullest. And if they don't win, you know, they might end up losing their state to depression or to what they call bankruptcy.
I can only hope that would happen.
Yeah, well, it's something to think about, and hopefully, if they listen, you know, they can understand that what we're going through. Is something that our people need to also become aware of these things. A lot of our reservation people, they still didn't open their eyes. They think everything is still normal. Those of us that are fighting the pipeline, they think we're crazy or whatever. But you know, we are fighting for the future of our children. So
yeah,
they don't understand that yet. That drink, the water that they drink and bathe in, take showers, and water their gardens, and water their animals, you know, they're going to be affected. But once the oil starts coming out of those water lines, you know, they will understand why we're fighting so hard. A big supply of United States food is grown right here in the territories of the Lakota, Dakota, Nakota.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our food is supplied all over the United States. And also the water, 18 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, the Missouri River, but then there is the aquifer, the Ogallala aquifer that is underneath the rivers and underneath these lands, and that could be affected also. And that one there supplies about 3 million people, I think, the Ogallala aquifer. And also a lot of irrigation comes from that Ogallala aquifer. Because farmers and ranchers, they dig their well deep and they get the water up and they mm-hmm. water their crops, their corn crops, corn fields, soybean fields, whatever they need to get watered. It's watered by that, because they don't have to pay for it. So anyway, Corpus Christi, I guess they are buying bottled water because they're contaminated water. So when it comes to these here things, they know that a drop of water is very important whenever you are dying of thirst. Our teachings, we do what we call a vision quest, a fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And there you appreciate water. You appreciate
what
it means to have water of life. Tamani Wichoni. So if your body doesn't have water for anywhere less than 7 days, some of them, their bodies start shutting down. So, you know, it's something to understand that the power of Mother Nature and the Creator and the gifts that they give us, is we got to understand these natural laws.
You're listening to Morning Eclectic with Earth Mom.
I think more and more people are waking up and understanding. You know, sometimes people don't understand until it hits them directly, and wow, it's going to be way too late when that happens, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, they don't pay attention until they get dropped to their knees, I guess.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I sure appreciate all the people that supported Standing Rock. Standing Rock in what we call Ocheti Shakoi, and the allies are the Cheyennes, Arapahoes, Osage, and these other ones that are in the treaty that was signed in 1851, 1868, and some of the other ones in between. And even further back in 1833, when the state of North Dakota was statehood. Anyway, those things, North Dakota, we only allowed them to use the surface rights. State of North Dakota in our territory. And so the surface is all they're supposed to be able to use, but they went underneath. And so the Bakken oil fields, they belong to the Lakota, Dakota also. There is three affiliated tribes there, but we also allowed them only to live there and be and have surface rights. And so all that oil money that they got still belongs to us yet, and we never got payment for it yet. So those things are, you know, you have to understand that the territories are supposed to be only allowed to be used through Congress. Congress is supposed to allow that. And then they're supposed to ask our nation with three-quarter male consensus if it's be allowed to drill or extract or even do any type of mining. And so we have coal fields in Wyoming that are transporting 100 cars every 20 minutes full of coal down toward Texas or Oklahoma, wherever they process it at. So that's our coal that they're taking out of there. And they never paid us yet for that either. So there is a lot of minerals the United States have never paid us yet. So each one of our people are walking millionaires or billionaires because of so much extraction being taken from our minerals. We never gave our mineral rights up for anything. So we don't believe in selling our lands. We don't believe in selling our Black Hills because they're sacred.
Yeah.
So these are the wealth of our people that this country is founded on.
And actually, you're all very wealthy. I mean, and it's not in a monetary way, but just in the spirit. I mean, you've been caretakers of Mother Earth, and you know better than to sell the Black Hills. Yeah, people could have gotten a lot of money for that, but you didn't. The wealth you have in spirit and in knowing and in caring for Mother Earth is huge.
Today, our people are living in poverty. You know?
Yeah.
77% of our children are in poverty today. Every reservation that here in the Dakotas, and so this year there was a lot of things happening. There was a lot of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and there was even a lot of suicides. And since that happening up in Standing Rock, where they start fighting for their water and all the attention that was received there. Standing Rock didn't have any more suicides after that time because they had a hope. Their hopes came up.
Oh.
The hope of, so there was no suicides in those last 4 months.
I am so happy to hear that.
So anyway, those are things that was pressing us, and our children need to know that there is hope for them. So that's why I know. Our ceremonies are very important in this area. And what we do today as leaders for the stepping stones that we can do for them, it'll show in the next maybe 10 years, 12 years, but But right now, we're at a stalemate right now, and we're waiting for court decisions and things like that there to happen. And hopefully they go our way, but if they don't, it's going to be a much, much bigger fight than what has happened.
But you're not alone anymore. I mean, there's so many people that want that are joining in now and that see and that understand and are with you. And that's the thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully.
Yeah, I was hoping we can help our Canadian indigenous people up there protect their waters also.
Yeah.
Some of the chiefs up there come down and they told us of what's happening on their reserves and territories. And there's a few that they get to that will sell our people out. And the government knows just right which ones to pick all the time. Because they're high-tech communications, interference, and all that there, where they can check out everybody's phone lines and who can be bought off, who can be easily persuaded, and stuff like that there. So they understand all those there, and so that's what we're up against a lot of times.
Well, I guess what we keep learning is consciousness and understanding and wisdom and spirit comes in all shapes, colors, and sizes, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, there is going to be some times where we're going to need a lot of prayers here because of, especially when this new president takes office.
Right.
And see what his plan is, you know. Oh, it's coming to that point here. So.
Yeah. My sense is he'll bring us together even in a more powerful way.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. May I ask you, like, with camp right now, so the veterans were there, and it was wonderful from what I read about it. However, it seems that at the same time, there were eviction notices. Eviction notices were given. They were taken away. I mean, a lot of things were going on at one time, and probably all the prep for the winter that should have been happening wasn't happening.
Well, I think it thinned out quite a bit, but there's a lot of people still there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're staying warm, and they're doing what they can and surviving, and I didn't hear of any casualties from there yet.
Good.
There's casualties on our reservation right now, Cheyenne River, where it is, because of the snow and the temperatures. Some people are going off, weather conditions, rain every now and then where it lays down a sheet of ice.
Oh, yeah.
Or it knocks the power lines down when it freezes on them, you know. So people go in a ditch and end up having to walk, and then they lose their life.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, so I know those things are happening, but I think the camp is doing fairly well on keeping each other going, keeping each other warm. People are still donating. People are still bringing wood. And so they're doing okay for now, but they can always use a lot of help all the time.
Yeah.
Winter's not over. We've got January, February.
Yeah.
Those are the months, January, February, and then March. It's just kind of lightening up. So that's when that their camp has to be vacated by March, I would say, because of the snowfall and because of history of how flooded that area gets, you know, with this much snowfall. It's going to flood quite a bit of that area right now. So they need to get all the structures they can up and out of there.
So are there plans for another location in March?
Well, there's been a location up on top since back in November.
Mm-hmm.
Allocated by the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, but people don't want to move because they want to be by the front line, right where they can access the drill pad or whatever. But nature is going to ask them to move right now, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to have no choice. Yeah, I mean, there is a plan of people doing getting that done exactly, is getting big trash picked up and fixtures that are there moved to the higher ground. So I think the Ocheteshakoin camp would have to move. I think the Rosebud camp would have to move. And part of the sacred stone camp would probably have to move up higher ground.
Mm.
And stuff like that there, so.
Wow.
Anyway, it's going to be quite a big transition coming up very fast. And people are going to have to work hard. So getting things up that are frozen on the ground is a trick, too, you know.
That's, yeah. Oof, it's more than a trick. How many people would you reckon are at camp now?
I would say anywhere between 300 to 500. Sometimes weekends come in where all of a sudden a lot of people come back or something. It goes up to 800, maybe 1,000. And some days it dwindles down. So it's a fluctuation, constant fluctuation, until the warmer season comes back around again, probably.
Yeah.
But But we'll see what the politicians are going to throw our way here. Now everything's kind of like a downtime. Everybody's kind of staying out of the cold and staying in the same place. So really not much communications except over the phone lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then our cell towers are being affected also, too. So a lot of landlines are being affected because of down power lines and all that there. So it's going to take a while for us to kind of get ourselves back into shape here.
Okay.
To actually have these conversations and so.
And speaking of being on the front lines too, is 1806 open now to go up north to where they're working or not working?
I think the barriers and things are pulled out of the way, but I don't know if it's opened up yet.
Uh-huh.
I think they pulled the burnt vehicles that were on the highway off.
Uh-huh.
And I think some barricades were lifted, but I don't know if it's passable or if they're utilizing it for transport or anything. But
yeah.
I do know that some of the DAPL workers and sheriffs would come on to the Corland and arrest some people and then take them back, you know. They're not allowed to, but they're doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. They have no, they don't care what they say, what we say, because they're going by their own rules and they think that they're superior right now, so whenever they get a chance, they try to come and arrest a few people and take them back across, and all done illegally, but they're still doing it.
So these are just people that are on, if you could explain that, they're people that are praying and going on the Army Corps lands, like going to Turtle Island, because now you can walk right across there. And that's Army Corps land, correct?
Yep, that's Army Corps land. And they are only caretakers of the land. It's still our land. So they're not even allowed to make decision over our land of them going underneath our water source, our river.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to make that decision. They're just holding it in trust and making sure that erosion doesn't happen on the shorelines and make sure the dams, the hydropower that's coming out of them. They're just supposed to keep an eye on the shores and the flooding and all that stuff so that everything stays safe, environment. So they're supposed to be just the caretakers. They're not supposed to be making no decisions on our land.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're supposed to make that decision of them allowing a permit. The permit was supposed to come through us. But somehow things got changed and now Corps of Engineers has the power, you know.
Mm.
But really, they're an engineering group that was supposed to just caretake over lands and so making sure no erosion and making sure there's no bridges that go underwater or things like that. Things like that, they're supposed to be taking care of land, but then now they're a decision-making entity. So, so I don't know who gave them the authority to do that, but it's happening.
And the arrests are still made by Morton County and whomever else bring in, yeah?
Yep, and I sure hate to be in their shoes. Once the real authority, they know who the authority is and what they went against to do all these crimes of war on our people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
War crimes. War crimes that, you know, even the Geneva Convention doesn't allow them to attack medics, but yet Morton County attacked the medics, took them out of their cars, beat them. Even some of them, Some of them jailed, thrown in and jailed and abused and all that there. So they broke the Geneva Conventions, War Crimes and Law Act. So a lot of different actions. So anyway, they even made a law that they could have drones, have weapons on them, and fire on the people. They passed a law like that. I don't think they used it yet, but I think they want to use it.
To attack with drones?
Wow. Huh?
To attack with drones?
Yeah, to attack with drones.
Whoa.
That was made back in November, later part of November, I think. They passed that law.
And have you also, last question then, have you also know that, I'm just reading also that basically the pipeline's done except for going under the Missouri River? It's like,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's about 99% done, I think, about 1,000 so many miles.
Whoa.
But they can't get it underneath that last mile and a half. Anyway, yeah.
All right, and we're waiting for the environmental survey to come out, a complete survey.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep, it's going to come to that there. So I know if they did the environmental impact statement, that the pipeline would never be allowed.
Yeah.
Because of its impact on so many millions of people needing that water and the ecosystem of our food supply.
Yeah.
So I think in the long run, hopefully, it opens enough eyes to make the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Ivan, really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me on your radio show and getting the news out. And
yeah.
Again, I want to thank the supporters, whether you donated, whether they went there physically, whether you prayed, it's all appreciated.
Thank
you. The communications that are happening to getting it out to the people, and that's very appreciated. Because otherwise, if this was back in the olden days when there was no communications, I imagine it would have been a terrible mess by now.
Yeah. I mean, oddly enough, Facebook's been the biggest thing to get the news out, and, and now some more have joined in, but it's still not where it needs to be, but... It'll get there. Just Mother Earth will get there. She'll do it herself just in rebelling against the way she's being treated, and everyone's going to have to stand up and take notice more and more.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Say that once you knew for sure, now you're walking in the shore to wonder. The more you learn, the less you know. The more you move, the more you go to nowhere. Ask a bird as she flies by just where she's at, and she says where the wind blows. Ask her by that what she means, she says she doesn't know, but as she flew away, she seemed to say the wind. My love, who knows?